is our fourth message in the series, What Child Is This? As we've taken that question from the classic carol and asked that question to guide us through this Advent season in reflecting on who Jesus is. We've celebrated that he is the world-saving baby, the one who came to save the world. We celebrate the fact that he was born king. He's the child king. Last week, we looked at the fact that he is living water, that in Christ we find the source of living water, Jesus himself living in us. Today, we're dealing with what is reflected in one of the names given to Jesus, the name of Emmanuel, God with us. And as we reflect on that question of what child is this, today we're reflecting and expanding on that thought of what does it really mean to come to see, to worship Emmanuel, God with us. You know, as we think of how we reflect on Jesus during the season, as we think last week, we talked about Mary and how she saw all the things that were happening around the birth of her son, and she pondered those things in her heart. I find that as a parent, we often find ourselves reflecting on our kids. Kind of wonder before they're born what they're going to look like, what they're going to be like. And then when they get here, we start seeing things in our kids that we like and that resemble us. And then we see things in our kids that we don't like that resemble us. I'm not alone in that, am I? I mean, we see that. I remember when Bryce was first born, typically when we look at kids, it's a common game to kind of look and say, well, who does he look like? Does he look more like mom or dad? And I remember there was a time where people were looking at Bryce and saying, looking at me saying, did you have anything to do with this? Because he honestly didn't. The scary thing is he looked more like my father at the time. And we determined that was because it took a year and a half before he had hair. And it was kind of thin on top and he had the full cheek. So I'm assuming that was the connection with my dad. But, you know, we have those moments where we look and we reflect on who does this child really look like? In the video you're going to see a little bit later, you're going to see Joseph's reflection and his anticipation. Some of what you heard in Jim's song, Jim's song was a reflection on Joseph, reflecting and wondering what it's going to be like to be charged with the responsibility of being father, an adopted father to the Son of God. You know, if God ever asks any of you to do anything big, it's not going to be any bigger than that. Imagine the concern and the questions that Joseph must have had. And Jim, thank you for sharing that song this morning. But you know, one of the things that you're going to hear in the video this morning is Joseph's reflecting on the birth of Jesus is that question of, well, what does he look like? What is he going to look like? We understand that when we look at Jesus, in Jesus, Emmanuel, we see a picture of who God really is. And today, I want to read the text from Matthew 1, and then we're going to watch the video and then unpack that truth, that central truth to the Christmas season and understanding of what it means to come and to worship Emmanuel, God with us. The text today is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And I always feel it's important that we understand this. If you're not aware, that when it talks about Mary and Joseph being engaged but not yet married, that is very different than how we practice engagement. Typically today when someone is engaged, they exchange a ring, but up to the point of the marriage ceremony, they could bow out of that arrangement. Mary and Joseph were already considered husband and wife, even though they had not fully consummated their marriage covenant. They were in a contract. It was very different than what we experience with a engaged couple today. And so what you read in this account makes a lot more sense when you understand that. For Joseph, it was not just an issue of concern whether Mary had been unfaithful. The reality is they were already committed to one another. And that helps us to understand this account. But pick up in verse 18, Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So that's the first name we're given in this account, that you will call his name Jesus, which is emphasizing the fact that Jesus will save the people from their sins. Verse 22 says, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's go ahead and hear from Joseph this morning.
Yeah, I reckon I've called at least a dozen of these. Made my first one for my baby boy. It's gonna be an angel. At least the way I remember it. It was a long time ago. See, my boy, well, before he got born, I really didn't know who he was gonna look like. It worried me. Well, see, his mama, she found out she was pregnant, and I didn't want to embarrass her. Baby wasn't mine. I just thought I was going to let her go without making a fuss, you know. But then one night I had this dream, and there was an angel in it. And that angel, he told me I shouldn't be scared to marry that woman because it was God's baby that Mary was having. You know, around here, we got a custom. When a baby gets born, the daddy, he puts that baby across his knees. And that's his way of telling everybody that that baby is his. Well, it took a while for my heart to kind of get used to the idea that that baby is just on loan to me. That he was special. Well, I made room for him. And when he got born, I did what any daddy would do. I put that boy on my knee. I gave him a name. I called him mine. He grew up to a fine boy. Now, all these years later, well, you probably heard about him. He's grown into a fine man. You know, every time I carve one of these, I remember what that angel told me. That Mary's boy, my boy, we're supposed to call him God with us. God with us. Yeah. I reckon that's all I've ever really needed to know. So you ask me who my boy looks like, I'll tell you. He looks like God.
That key question, what will my boy look like? Joseph's response was, if you want to know what he looks like God. We see that in the truth of not only the prophecy of Jesus coming and being called Emmanuel, God with us, but we see it in his life and we see it throughout the scriptures, the importance of Jesus coming, being God in the flesh. It's what theologians call the incarnation, the idea that God himself came, took on flesh, and Jesus, we celebrate the fact that he is fully God and he's fully human. In one. And the title, Jesus being Emmanuel, brings that all together. Because it's God with us. Not God from a distance, but God stepping into our experience, stepping into this part of our experience and into our world to be with us. I want to unpack that truth today in a key verse to help us understand both the incarnation and understand the power of God with us is John 1:14. And in John 1, we understand if you read through John 1, that when it refers to the Word, it's referring to Jesus. And so it says in John 1, 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, that dwelt among us could be used to the, if you were to translate that literally, it would be that he pitched his tent. Like Israel, remember Israel wandered for all those years and they didn't have a permanent temple where God would live. They had a tabernacle that everywhere they went as a nation, they had to set up that tabernacle. And God's presence would come and rest on that place. The idea that Jesus coming, the Word, became flesh. He took on human flesh and then he dwelt among us. Is that God himself came to live among his people. Now, you know, sometimes we hear that so often that I don't think we let it sink in. God, the creator of the universe, chose to step into his creation. God, the creator of the universe, chose to come to be with us. Never surrendered his deity. Jesus is fully God. But he came and took on human flesh and dwelt among us, lived among us. In this verse, we see two very significant things that come from this, the incarnation. Not only that Jesus came and he took on flesh, but that first truth is that he did come and dwell among us. In those words, we hear the echo of that name, Emmanuel, God with us. But we also see in that verse that Jesus not only came to live with us, but when he did, he also then in doing so gave us a picture of who God really is. Says in verse 14, it says that he dwelt among us and we have seen his glory. Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, for Israel, God's chosen people, they would have understood this because throughout Israel's history, as God called Abraham and promised to be form Abraham into a great nation and that God would be his God and be God to his people, we see two themes throughout the Old Testament and through God's experience with Israel. And we see these two themes that we see in this verse, that this theme of the importance of God's presence, but also the importance of seeing God for who he really is and having a picture of who really God really is. In the Old Testament, that idea of the picture of God would be often described as the glory of God, having a picture of his glory. Those two examples, you can look throughout the scriptures, that one passage pulls both of those together. In Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23, you have Moses who's leading his people. They've been delivered out of Egypt, and they're in that in-between state of, they're no longer in Egypt, but they're not yet to the promised land, and he's got this incredible weight upon him of leading the people that God has entrusted to him. And in these verses, he asks God for three things. He says, to show me your ways. He asks for God's presence to go with him. And he asks God, he says, show me your glory. Now, that idea of show me your ways, it's show me how to live. Show me how your people are to live. And you know, if we stop there in our relationship with God to where it's only about how we are ought to live, and don't go on to the other two things that Moses asked for, we're going to experience frustration in our Christian life. Because if we just try to live a certain way, live the way that we believe God has called us to live, apart from knowing God's presence in our lives, and apart from having a clear picture of who God really is that we see in Jesus, we don't have the empowerment to live the life that God calls us to live. And so Moses, in these words, clear back in Exodus 33, we see these themes that are central to living the life that Christ calls us to. It's not enough just to look at Jesus and say, well, he's going to teach me how to live. He's my teacher. That's important. But we also have to understand that when we come to Jesus, our Emmanuel, we not only celebrate that Jesus walked this earth and that he was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, but as Christians, we celebrate the fact that Jesus comes to live inside of us. His Spirit comes to take residence in us, make his home in us. And we celebrate his life in us. And Jesus gives us not only his presence, but gives us a picture of who the Father really is. So I want to unpack those two things. As we think about that encounter with Moses and how important it is to not only understand that, I mean, Moses, he was basically, God had actually told him, I'm going to go with you. And Moses' response was like, well, look, if you don't go, I'm not going. We're not moving from here. Because Moses understood he couldn't do what God had called him to do apart from God's presence going with him. And he understood that. In our lives, we need to understand the importance of celebrating Jesus, our Emmanuel, and be reminded of the fact that Jesus invites us into a life where we enter into relationship with him. We experience his presence in our lives, filling us, empowering us. But also in Jesus, we see a picture of who God really is, because Jesus himself is God. You know, two words to help us with this today, and hopefully if you walk out of here today with anything, if you remember picture, two words with P as a letter. Picture and presence. If you remember, Jesus is a picture of the Father, and remember that Jesus is the presence of God with us. That summarizes everything we're saying this morning, is that we celebrate Jesus, Emmanuel, as God with us, that he comes to be present with us, but he also comes to give us that picture of who the Father really is. Unless we're going to look at this in reverse order. In John 1:14, the order is the Word became flesh, and so that he dwelt among us, and that we have seen his glory. We've seen God for who he really is, the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're going to look first at that second phrase, that we have seen his glory, and understand that this idea of the picture, this picture that Jesus gives us of God. You know, over the years, as I've talked to people who have struggled with believing, who've struggled with the idea of putting faith in Christ, I often find people struggle, and I've heard them make a statement in different ways. This idea of, well, if God really wanted us to know him, why didn't he reveal himself to us better, more clearly? And throughout what we see in Scripture and what we believe as followers of Christ is that God revealed himself in creation. And that when you look at the world that he has created, when we look at it honestly, we believe that there clearly has to be something intelligent behind the beauty and the design that we see in creation. But that wasn't enough. We're all basically judged before God in with that knowledge that there is enough in creation itself to know that there has to be a God. There has to be something behind what we're experiencing in this life. But we also celebrate the fact that God chose to reveal himself. And we celebrate when we look at God's word, we realize that God's word is God's revelation, not only of his will, but his revelation of himself. He chose to reveal himself to Israel and through Israel to the rest of humanity. God chose to reveal himself. He wants to be known. And in Jesus, we see that perfect revelation. So you see God revealed in nature. You see God revealed through his word. And then you see in Jesus and his life, his very life and his existence, God fully revealing himself. To answer that question, God, who are you and what are you like? If you're here today and you've struggled with that question and wondered, God, really, what are you like? How do I know who you are? The best starting point is to look to Jesus. Get into a New Testament. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just dive in and look at the life of Jesus. Because everything you see in Jesus is a reflection of the Father. We see this in John 14:6-9. Many of you are familiar with John 14:6, that important truth today in a world where people believe they can believe whatever they want. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But he goes on, we usually stop there, but he goes on, verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples here. And so he says, after saying he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me, verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Now, before we go on, Philip, I actually love what Philip says here. Because on a spiritual level, this is an incredible statement. I mean, if we get the importance of the idea of God, if you just show us who you really are, and that will be enough, we're stating how important it is to have an accurate view of who God is. And yet, Philip is making a very important statement, a good statement, but he's missing the very fact that this guy they've been walking with for 3 years, this guy named Jesus, is giving them the perfect picture of who God is. Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? I mean, it's like, do you not get it? He's like, okay, you've been with me for 3 years. You want to see what the Father looks like? Look here. Open your eyes. Look. He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Again, Jesus' statement here is so incredible. He says, do you not know me, Philip? Jesus is saying to Philip, you've walked with me. Do you not know who I am? But then he goes on to make this incredibly profound statement, a statement that would have made the religious leaders in Jesus' time cringe, when he said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is making it very clear and reflecting those words that we just read in John 1:14, that Jesus came, he dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus gives us a picture of who God really is, because Jesus has come, God in the flesh, to be with us and to walk among us. I want to ask you in your own life, how much of your view of God is shaped by your not only looking at Jesus, but you're walking with Jesus? Because I really believe that sometimes where we get off track in our lives and how we live and how we believe, and we get off track, it's because we've allowed a warped view of who God is to shape us. If you're here today and you are a follower of Christ, we need to not only be in God's Word on a regular basis and all of God's Word, but we need to be soaking in the Gospels. We need to be reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and looking at the life of Christ to where we know how Jesus reacted to different situations, and we hear his truth. We hear his teaching. We see the way he worked with compassion and interacted with love and mercy and compassion with others. We need to be living in the Gospels to see Jesus for who he really is. But we also then need to be inviting Jesus into our hearts and our lives to be guiding us so that we might truly understand who God is through the person of Christ. Jesus represents the picture of the Father, and it's critical that we understand that, but it's also critical that we understand that the second P, presence, that Jesus, he came in the flesh, and he dwelt among us. Jesus, we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Again, it's not just celebrating the fact that God was with his people when he walked this earth, but as Christians, we celebrate that Jesus is still alive today. Jesus conquered death. He died in our place upon the cross. He conquered death. He lives again. And when we come to faith in Christ, Christ comes to live in our hearts, filling us with his very own Spirit. Moses understood that if he didn't have God with him, understood that if he didn't have God present with him, he didn't want to move on in leading his people. We celebrate Emmanuel, God who's come to be with his people. And we celebrate Emmanuel as the God who comes to live within the believer through his Holy Spirit. And I want you to think about that truth again. when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came in the flesh to walk, to be among his people. But when we celebrate Emmanuel as believers, we celebrate a Jesus that not only lived, we celebrate a Jesus who lives. And he lives in the lives of those who have put their faith and trust in him. And it's my prayer for each of us this year, whether you've ever come to a place of putting your faith and trust in Christ and inviting him into your life to lead you, or whether you've been walking with Jesus for many years, it's my prayer that during this Christmas season, you would embrace Jesus anew and understand the importance of soaking Jesus into your life, inviting Jesus to be filling you, spending time in his word, looking at who Jesus really is, but also inviting God's spirit to be working in and through you. The reality is that Jesus' very presence is life to the believer. I love when I go back and read the words of our founder, A.B. Simpson, and Tozer does this as well at times. They often use interchangeably, they'll interchangeably use language where they talk about being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the life of Christ. Those two things are not in contradiction to each other, because to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with the life of Christ, because it's the very Spirit of God and the very Spirit of Christ coming to live inside of us. And this is foundational to how we live the Christian life. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul's describing the Christian life as, like, in a sense, a heart transplant. That it's not just Paul living now, it's Christ living in him and through him. In the same way Jesus came and took on flesh and walked among his people, when we come to Christ and we put our faith in him, Jesus comes to live in us, to lead us, so that the very life of Christ is seen in us and through us. Romans 8:10 through 11 says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." In these verses, you see both of those phrases. It is Christ in you, and it's the Holy Spirit in you that is working. If we want to celebrate the fact that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, let's not let this be an intellectual exercise, but let's take time daily through this Christmas season as we're with family, as we're celebrating, and really take time to sit and reflect and ask myself and ask ourselves, is Christ living and active in my life? Have I come to a place that I've not only put faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, for the forgiveness of sins, but I've invited Jesus to be living in me and through me, to make his home in me? I believe that this is not only what we need, it's what every believer needs, it's what every person who walks on this earth needs. It's definitely what the world needs. And if we who claim to be followers of Christ are not living in the fullness of the Spirit and living in the fullness of Christ in us, we're not in a place where we can really give the world what is needed. There's a quote from A.W. Tozer, and then it's on the next slide. A.W. Tozer says that the world is perishing for lack of knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for want of his presence. I firmly believe those two things, Tozer understood, went together. If God's people are not manifesting the fullness of God and his love and his presence in our lives, the world will never experience that truth and the reality of Christ. If we are here today and we're committed to follow Christ, we need to be looking in our hearts and our lives and ask ourselves, are we really living in the fullness of his presence? And are we inviting his Holy Spirit to be present and working in our life? Three things I think we can do in taking that step. But I think it's all connected with this idea of a step of faith and recognizing that Jesus doesn't just call us to live a life and then send us out. He invites us to come and to take his hand, to walk with him. I'm excited in January I'm going to be starting a series in Genesis and not looking as much at the science and everything else as much as the key themes throughout Genesis of walking with God. That image is throughout the book of Genesis is the idea of walking with God and recognizing that relationship that he invites us to. You know, as I think about that image of walking with God and letting his spirit be lived in us and in his fullness, I'm reminded again of a time, both of my kids were guilty of this, but I can vividly remember Bryce, especially when he was still young enough that when we were in parking lots, we had that rule. If you're in a parking lot, you don't have a choice. You have to take my hand. And there were times where my kids would be independent and they didn't want to take my hand. And that's why we had to make it a rule. We're in a parking lot, you take my hand. We don't do that now. My kids are a little older than that. But when they were young, I can still remember these times where like I'm grabbing because I'm nervous. They had these times where they had no understanding of the fear or fear of what could happen if they ran out in the street. You know, I think of that image, and I think of the times where I had to grab the hand and take the hand. I'm also reminded of the times where something did scare the kids, and I didn't have to go looking for their hand. They grabbed my hand, if not my leg, because they understood in that moment of fear, that moment of concern, they understood, I need to reach out to Dad. I need to take his hand. I need to walk with him. When we celebrate Jesus as Emmanuel, we celebrate a God who chose to reveal himself to us because he wants us to know him. He wants us to be in relationship with him. That's why he chose to reveal himself through his word and then in through Jesus Christ, the word who became flesh. But we have to come to that place that we invite Jesus into our heart and our life and take his hand and walk in faith, trusting him. And it's my prayer for each of us this Christmas season that we would just make a commitment in the coming year to really take time to reflect on the life of Jesus. Look at who Jesus is. Look at how Jesus acted. Look at the things that come out of Jesus' mouth. And really make sure that we haven't formed an inaccurate view of who Christ is. But beyond studying Christ, we need to be inviting the Spirit of Christ into our lives. And that can only happen by us coming to a place of surrender. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the image is that we have to yield and be led by the Spirit of God. And that reflects that same image of reaching up and taking our Father's hand, surrendering our plan and letting him lead us. It's my prayer for each of us in this coming year that we would daily surrender our will, surrender our agenda, invite Christ in, invite his Spirit into our life to lead us. Because it's in our surrender and our reaching out and yielding to God's leading in our life that we'll know his fullness. And that we'll know what it really means to walk with Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the truth of these words. But I, more than just the truth of these words, I thank you for the desire, the experience that you invite us to know. You want us to know you. You want us to know you for who you really are, and you invite us to walk in relationship with you. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have made the way through your Son, Jesus, for our sins to be forgiven and for each of us to have the opportunity and the privilege of just reaching out to you and taking your hand and walking in relationship with you. Lord, I just pray that each of us would not only know your presence, but that we would long for your presence each day, and for more of you. And Lord, even as we close this service, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to be moving and speaking into each of our hearts and our lives. And if there's anything that's preventing us from taking your hand this day and inviting you to walk with us, Lord, I just pray that we would lay those things at your feet so that we might fully embrace you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.